Have your Bibles this morning if you'll find your way to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. Simply titled the message this morning, When Barns Are Not Enough. When Barns Are Not Enough. Chapter 12, Jesus is teaching and he's warning in the first part of the chapter about hypocrisy. And then he goes into a serious eternal matter of whether we confess Christ openly before others, how that Christ will confess us or acknowledge us before God and all of the angels. However, he also says that if we deny Christ in front of others, then he too will deny us before the Heavenly Father. But then it takes a shift. Someone interrupts into this teaching of Christ, and then Christ gives a bit of a parable, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, beginning in verse number 13. Luke chapter number 12. Beginning in verse number 13, it said, Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink. Be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, for your grace this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that you give to us. And Lord, I pray that as I proclaim your holy word this morning, God, that you would hide me behind the precious cross of Calvary. Lord, that these dear folk not see me today, God, that they would see you. Speak to our hearts. Lord, may we repent where we have failed you. Lord, bring that one that is backslidden back to you, that one that is lost to salvation. God, for whatever you do here this morning, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus is again teaching about these spiritual and eternal matters here. And then someone comes into the crowd and says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide this inheritance with me. So it sounds like a legal complaint, but Jesus refuses to take the bait here. He sees a deeper question. He sees a soul that is consumed by greed and by the illusion of having more will solve everything. So Jesus tells a story, not about a bad man, but about a rich man, a successful farmer who had what we would call a banner year. Let's walk through this parable this morning. And perhaps we need to ask ourselves, what does this teach us about our own lives today? Notice in verses 16 through verse 19, we see the myth of a self-made security. The myth of self-made security. The Bible says that the land of a rich man produced plentifully. So notice this land it produced. The harvest come not from this man's genius intellect, but from God's provision. But the man didn't acknowledge God What does he say instead? He says that I will do this. I'm going to tear down the barns I have, and I will build larger ones. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods, right? You have ample goods laid up for many years. You can relax, eat, drink, and be merry. In that verse, notice that there are six I statements. Four my statements. His world revolves not around God, but his world is revolving around himself. And this is where the problem is this morning. This is the myth of that self-made security. If I can just get more, I'll be safe, right? When I had my business over in Little Rock, I kept saying, if I could just have this many calls every week, I'll be all right. I got those, and then I would say, well, if I could just have this many more every week, I'd be all right, right? I got those. I said, if I could just have this many more, I'll be all right. Dear friend, I say self-made security. If I can just get more, I'll be safe. If I can build it big enough, right, I'll be untouchable. How many times have we heard that statement? You remember back in the early 1900s when there was a ship called Titanic, right? It was massive. It was one of the biggest ships on the sea at the time, right? And what was said of that ship? Not even God himself can sink this ship, right? And at midnight, what happened? That ship began to sink. If I build it big enough, I'll be untouchable. If I plan well enough, I'll never suffer. Security without surrender is simply a well-decorated prison. You can be rich in plans, but have poor or be poor in peace. He believed that more barns and bigger barns would bring more life for him. But he was wrong. Notice what he said in verse 20. God said to him, you fool, for this very night your life is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? Whose will they be? Here is the only time, perhaps one of the few times in the Gospels, where God actually directly called someone a fool. Not because he was successful, and it wasn't because he was wealthy, but because he lived as if though God didn't exist. He made plans for everything except for his soul. You imagine someone spending years planning for the weddings, right? I've known several people that spend 2, 3, 4 years planning that perfect wedding. They get the venue, right? They start paying on the venue. They'll get the flowers. They'll have the food and get the catering, all of these things. They'll get the preacher. They'll get the church, whatever the case may be. And they spend all of this time preparing for the wedding. But they never prepare for the marriage. Well, let's get married. Let's have all these flowers. Let's have all of the, you know, maybe the limousine or the old car or whatever the case is, the biggest of venues. We've got to have all these people, all this catering. But then 5 years into the marriage, trouble comes. They don't know how to handle it, right? There's a rock in the road. And that's what this man did. He prepared for the harvest and he prepared for the retirement, but he never prepared for eternity. How many of us do the same thing? We have home insurance, right? We have life insurance. Most people have life insurance. We all hopefully have car insurance, right? That is the law, by the way. But we can have all of these insurances, but have no eternal assurance. We manage our calendars and we manage our savings and our social media platforms, and we do all of this, but we neglected prayer and faith and generosity and surrender. And God breaks into this man's little illusion here, and he says that this night your soul is required of you. Notice in verse 21, he mentions here, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. What is being rich toward God? This is a pivot point here in this parable. And I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. It's not wrong to be rich in grain, but it is tragic to be poor in grace. It's not a sin to save. And I encourage, you know, I wish I'd have listened to my elders growing up. You know, you need to put some money back. You need to put the money back. And then you find yourself in your 30s and mid-30s, and you're like, I wish I'd have put some money back, right? For that rainy day that comes. It's not wrong to save, but it is perhaps a sin to hoard up these worldly possessions. It's not wicked or sinful or bad to plan. I think we all need to plan. But it's foolish to plan without God. So what does this mean to be rich towards God? To see your wealth as His and yourself as a steward and not simply an owner. To practice generosity, giving to those in need, to the church, to the work of the kingdom. To live with eternity in view, remembering that we are not promised tomorrow, right? That new, bigger, better barn may never get finished. To treasure Christ above all. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Kind of a funny story, perhaps a bit morbid, but that's okay? I've heard the saying, you never see a U-Haul pulled behind a hearse, right? I made an exception to that when I moved from Mississippi to Little Rock at the time. For those that don't know, I was in funeral service the majority of my life. And when I made the move from Mississippi to Little Rock, I had a hearse. And I had a U-Haul pulled behind that hearse because I was moving, right? And so it was the joke, you know, there goes Gates with the hearse and the U-Haul. The saying is, you never see a U-Haul pulled behind a hearse. And generally speaking, that is true, right? Because, dear friend, you cannot take it with you. You can't. The only thing you take into eternity is your soul and what you have done with Jesus. So this parable is not a condemnation of well, but it is a warning against idolatry. The rich man this night